There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Wow, here we go. 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile for this Thursday. Glad to have you along. And let me point out, too, Thursday leading into the very important Mother's Day weekend. You might say, well, Mother's Day is Sunday. Just watch your P's and Q's. Mother's Day weekend ahead. Phone number. Yeah, we got one of those. It's 343-0106. Even more popular, the Mallory Piping text line. Same phone number, though. Same numbers. It's just for a text to the Mallory Piping text line. 343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us a talkback message. Watching the monitors here in the opulent FM Talk 106.5 studios, while you heard a little bit earlier, the white smoke was coming out of the, which by the way, the chimney there, the pictures there of the chimney at the Vatican, I don't know if that's a double-walled chimney. I don't know if that meets code. I don't know what code in Vatican City is. I don't know who keeps code. It kind of looked like a little better chimney there, but white smoke came out. So at any point now, we're supposed to have the new Pope emerge on the Vatican balcony. When the Pope reveal party gets started, well, the party's already started, but when that happens, we'll go to that and give you the latest news on that. I don't know. I mean, I heard the discussion earlier. I know there's people. I mean, there's like you can bet on about anything, and I'm sure there've been bets here on this Pope thing. So we'll see if it lives up to it. All right. And also coming up on the show today, hour number two, Brady Petrie from Landnap joins me. Also, my buddy Patrick Jump from Warrior Legacy Ranch. They got a cool event coming up, and it benefits a fantastic organization, but more importantly, the structures and the place of Warrior Legacy Ranch right here. We'll talk to Patrick and probably Dick DiMario as well about that. Also, the story that I mentioned to Jeff as we went into the news there, you know, it's been interesting to watch this or listen to it or read this. It was last year on this show, which, by the way, I think coming up on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, it's Ask the Sheriff with Sheriff Birch, so second Tuesday of the month. So he was on last year, and he mentioned the issues he had with the way some of the Marine policing was going on. So, and really specifying one, if not two officers, but one especially, but he kind of danced around it and he got some attention here. I mean, y'all melted down the text line, but it didn't seem to get picked up in the bigger news cycle out there. When he did it this year, was it last month or the month before when he did it? Well, it got picked up pretty quickly there, and it led to the point of a lot of discussion about it, and then a discussion on both sides of the bay about Marine policing, and specifically Mayor of Orange Beach, Tony Kennan, commented on it back then. And they set up this meeting with Hal Taylor. So Hal Taylor, head of ALEA, and Hal Taylor had a meeting where he came down and met with Mayor Kennan and others about this. So we'll get a chance. We'll get to that in later on in the show. So we'll talk about that as well. The story, we'll talk about Trump's deal with the UK in just a little bit. Plus, I told you so. Not that none of y'all could have come up with it, but I told you so the second they even discussed doing this project. Remember the pier? Remember the Gaza pier President Biden had this big plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have a pier in Gaza so we can get humanitarian aid in. Remember, because they were dropping it from airplanes, and then it was getting scooped up by Hamas and then redistributed or held. It was hitting people on the way down as people ran to the beach to get these. So they said, we're going to put a pier in right there on the Mediterranean. Remember, we talked about this. And I said, explain that how that's a good idea. Right, we talked about this for a couple weeks. Well, it wasn't a good idea. It had problem after problem after problem. Well, now the cost of this is in. And this story from the New York Post says, Biden Gaza pier fiasco left 62 U.S. forces injured, one dead, and cost $31 million in damages. You remember when it broke free? That's says former President Joe Biden's failed floating Gaza pier, which, once again, I'm just like y'all, we're just regular folks. But if anybody, I mean, there was no one in that cabinet, in that administration, that could have said, hey, I get what you're saying, and I'm just as liberal as you, and I'm going to do all these things, but this is not going to work. But nobody did, that we heard of. Said, the plan left 62 U.S. personnel injured, one service member dead, caused $31 billion in damage to military equipment. How is it that this could have happened? Says, according to a scathing Pentagon watchdog report that found the Army and Navy failed to properly plan, train for, prepare for, and coordinate the mission. It's not Army-Navy's fault. It's the fact that they were given a mission that wasn't going to work. That wasn't in the New York Post story. That's me. So the project, which Biden announced during his 2024 State of the Union address, y'all remember that, amid mounting protests over the on the left over Israel's war against Hamas, sought to deliver humanitarian aid to the terrorist-controlled enclave, but ultimately was functional for just 20 days before being abandoned. You wonder why, and like I've said, this Doge thing has hit me personally. It's hit things that I really care for. But I still believe in what they're doing and right. You wonder why people were so on board with an idea like Doge. How about what we spent? And this is a drop in the bucket. I get it, but it's emblematic. It's a talisman to look at here of just government waste. 20 days. It was functional before it was abandoned. Remember, it was the whole deal that we weren't going to put U.S. boots on the ground. Remember, that was the whole thing. No U.S. boots on the ground. So they put the pier out there and then abandoned it after 20 days. Let's see. The report follows similar reviews by U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, if you hadn't heard of them, Office of Inspector General from 2024, which found Biden charged ahead with the $230 million pier despite the urging of some federal aid workers. Oh, wait, we've got, I see a Pope. Let's go to their audio. Do we have that? Okay, let's go there.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum. Habemus papam. Habemus papam. Eminentissimum, eminentissimum, ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Robertum Franciscum, Sancte Romanae Ecclesiae, Cardinalem Prevost. Qui sibi nomen imposuit Leonem decimum quartum.
So the Pope is Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, who's taken the name of Leo XIV, Pope Leo XIV. Cardinal Prevost is an American, and he spent most of his ministry in Latin America, in Peru, and also in Paraguay. And he's an Augustinian father. He was the provincial in Latin America, and then became the Bishop of Chiclayo in Peru. And he then is also, he became the Superior General of the Augustinian Fathers as well. He's now the, he's been the prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops.
We see the cardinal electors there appearing on the balcony there as well, with this joy and their smiles on their face.
A great joy indeed. And, well, it wasn't one of those fabulous things, so to say. What a great joy.
It's a wonderful joy. And he's from Chicago.
Yes.
Illinois.
Yes,
Chicago. Okay.
An American.
An American.
Yes.
And an American. I think that's a historic moment.
For sure. Truly, truly historic.
And you can see all the cardinals on the different balconies there. For our radio listeners, you may not be able to see this, of course, but they're appearing on all the balconies to the left and right of the central balcony there. All of them clearly standing out with their red vestments and smiles. And
waiting to again, for all of us to greet this new pope as well.
To greet a new pope.
Which now we know his name.
Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, Augustinian.
Amazing.
And has served as prefect of the dicastery for bishops. A native of Chicago, Illinois, in the United States.
All right, there we go. So what about that? Is an American pope, are we entering a new age, a reset globally? And now we're dealing with the American cardinal announces a new pope. There you go. Breaking news. I do like that we cut into, is that Vatican Radio? Do they have like the news shows, and then do they have like sports talk? Are they on there going, oh man, this pope's got nothing on this other pope. In preseason, this cardinal was doing much better. I don't know. But the announcement's been made, and we'll be right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Of course, I come rolling straight into the new pope with AC/DC in the background, but yeah, is the way I've always been. Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and yet the announcement made. An American cardinal. I think this is interesting. Now, American cardinal, now the new pope, Leo the 14th, right?
Leo Dalton
in studio here, giving me some updates as this is all pretty, you heard it here, it's fresh news.
Yeah, and I think I might start, maybe now's a bad time to start following at Vatican News on Twitter.
I saw it pop up.
Might have missed the boat.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals elected Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost as the 267th pope. Took the name Pope Leo the 14th, and it looks like he'll be making his way to the balcony here soon. But for a little more on who he is,
He was up at the he was up on the balcony. He had talked to everybody there, and then and now he's I don't know if there's a cocktail party or something goes on afterwards.
What's next? So born in Chicago, 55, and was elevated to cardinal in 2023. It says here. And I moved over to Grok here just to see the insight into some of his leanings. It says his political and ideological stances are shaped by his alignment with Pope Francis's vision, his extensive missionary work in Peru, and his administrative roles within the church. So it looks like
he's Augustine, okay, even though I think Francis was Jesuit.
So they say they have a lot of similarities.
Right, yeah. I'm not saying same order, but he's more in the... He's not so. I mean, Francis was not exactly a conservative pope,
mm-hmm. Right? And so it says here. It looks like he spent a lot of time in Peru, and I kind of missed my spot here. As far as says, his public statements are limited. He maintains a discreet media presence. The what I was reading was kind of like he's.
But there's not some old tweets we got to worry about.
Not yet. Not that we've seen. I'm sure someone's combing through it right now. But it sounds like he and Pope Francis saw eye to eye on a lot of things. But he's considered. less of a bold leader, less outgoing, I guess, than Francis as far as being outspoken. So they're saying he's a little more reserved, but in many ways the same way. And of course, this not my lane.
Well, we're just reading the facts that are coming in.
And of course, you know, I'm sure they'll be seeing any kind of scandals he may be attached to within the Catholic Church. That's always some of the first things they look at here. But I don't know. This
the American thing, that's kind of what I'm stuck on right now. Now, they point out, like you said, South America, spent a lot of time there. But a Chicago guy, American, this is that part is interesting to me.
And as I was reading, leading up to all of this, the different odds that the Cardinals that were in the running had, it seemed that many people felt there wouldn't be an American selected just because the United States is, you know, the premier country in the world. And they felt like that might be a little too much influence from one country.
This is the first American Pope ever.
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 That's something else.
First American Pope. And obviously, there was a lot of time for other countries to get on the Pope train before we were a country. So, I mean, but the first American Pope, and we're going to find out that it was probably some negotiation that Lutnick did with Vatican City on a trade deal. That's significant. It's still, he's a resident of Vatican City. He's the Pope. He's, you know, he's born American, but I mean, but it's interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a different thing. They said, there's going to be a different kind of thing. We got popes from all over, from Asia, from all these places. They really didn't talk about United States.
No, they kind of looked over.
He was a sleeper. I wonder what kind of odds he had.
Hey, I'm sure he had some pretty long odds. He and there was one other American that looks like was potentially one of the picks. But I imagine the Italians, they'll put it aside because it is the Pope. But I think the Italians were really wanting to see another Italian Pope after some time.
Of course they do. But they can't have everything.
They can't have it all. So maybe some listeners might have some more insight into the politics of this new Pope. Look,
and now from the Mallory Piping text line, Supermom says, where'd it go? An American Pope that holds dual citizenship. He's American and Peruvian. I mean, Supermom's about as good as Grok, maybe even better.
Super Grok,
say.
Mom.
Yeah. Says he spent a significant portion of his career in Peru and been a Peruvian citizen for several years. Is he truly an American Pope? How does that work? Well, if he can claim, he's got American citizenship, so he can be,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how tough it is to get citizenship in Peru.
So
it might be, I don't know.
As far as some of the key issues that I know a lot of conservative Catholics and liberal Catholics care about, wanting to see it go one way or the other, says as far as LGBTQ issues, Prevost appears less, that's his last name before he became Pope here, appears less progressive than Francis on engaging with the LGBT community. Also says as far as divorced and remarried Catholics, he supported Francis's pastoral shift, which allows divorced and civilly remarried Catholics to receive communion under certain conditions. He oversaw a significant Francis-led reform by including three women in the dicastery for bishops voting block for bishop nominations. So there was a historic move toward gender inclusivity in church governance. However, like Francis, he opposes ordaining women as deacons, maintaining a conservative stance on sacramental roles. And he's not made any explicit public statement on the issues of abortion or contraception. So that's some of the big ones there.
I wouldn't imagine even Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Was not moving on that.
It's so, a bit far.
Yeah, I would say.
It was shocking enough that an American Catholic president would have the views he had on that.
Yeah. But. You could talk about Biden. I will get back to that Biden story that was so rudely interrupted by a new pope. Let's see. A lot of people on the Mallory Piping text line talking about the USA pope. Was somebody? Oh, Ben said it wasn't Pope Trump after all, but Brandon says Trump even got the Vatican. Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, as the rollout today for the deal struck with the United Kingdom, maybe more to come with South Korea and Japan. All these things, the reset here. Maybe China's going to negotiate here. Mm-hmm. Is it the new American? I'm surprised that American, even though I maybe they'll one group, they'll say he's Peruvian, and if they're selling it to an American audience, he's American. But
I'd so love to know all of the politics that went into this, and even just choosing the nationality, whoever it's going to be. Are they looking for more of a Catholic outreach in America? Is that part of the reason they did this? I'm just there's a lot of it would have been very entertaining to see how that all went down there.
Coming right back, we'll get on to this and many more stories that just got bumped by the new Pope.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Yeah, leading into the Mother's Day weekend, do not forget out there. And my man Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, he's well aware, and he said, hey, by the way, I got some Mother's Day bikes. It's a good idea. I've talked about this with the e-bike phenomenon. How many of y'all have said, you know, I went in to get an e-bike, and I came out with two because, you know, the missus and I or some other family member is going to go ride with me. Well, Mother's Day bikes, pretty darn good gift, right? You got to, you know, get mom out, go riding, maybe get yourself, listen, it's a good excuse to get yourself one too. Say, honey, I got one for you, and I got one for me because I can't leave your side. It said, here's what Clint said. He said, hey, we have ladies cruisers and ladies comfort bikes in an assortment of colors, ready to hit the beach or the bike pass, and if your mom wants a little extra push, yeah, who doesn't? We just received a shipment of U-Free and Big Sur e-bikes, so some of the most popular. I'd say Fuji's probably number one out of the shop there, but you can correct me, Clint. But U-Free and Big Sur e-bikes are super popular. It also reminds me the accessories that go on the bikes, right? And whether you already have a bike or you're going in to buy a bike from Clint, helmet. I mean, helmets are, you know, you protect your noggin. I didn't when I was a kid, and look, I could have been a doctor. Now I'm a talk show host. Protect your head. Great helmets in there. Also, the accessories that go on the bikes, whether you need a drink holder, cell phone holder, gun holder, you know, the panniers that go on it so you can carry all the stuff with you. They're all in stock right now. And what a good idea for Mother's Day. Thanks, Clint, for telling me that. They got the ladies' cruisers and ladies' comfort bikes in right now. So go by and pick one up. For mom, go find them at the corner. You can find them online, adventure-earth.com. But the most fun, seriously, because you get to take a test ride and see all the bikes and all that good stuff, is by going to see Clint in person. He's at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of near where Bruce Chris is. And go by and check it out. Remember, you have today, tomorrow, Saturday, and then the big day. So don't be there without a gift. All right, let's go to, and I know these are different texts from, because we were talking about one story, and we'll get back to that in a second. Let's see. High Plains Drifter says, embarrassing how people give a crap who the Pope is. Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it is important globally and here in the U.S. and as an American. Fire Dog said, wouldn't have given you 100-to-1 odds they picked an American Pope. I me neither, Fire Dog. Tim and Foley said, new USA Pope. I'm sure Trump had something to do with it. Can you imagine if they had a pressure now? He's like, well, I was doing a deal with Vatican City, and part of the deal here was an American Pope. Yeah, Brandon said, did Trump even got the Vatican? Yeah. Michael says, as an American Catholic, this is an extremely sad day. He's very much in line with Francis. Yeah, that's what Dalt was talking about. And, you know, so Michael, we can talk the same language here for a second. He took the name of Leo, right? And then you can go way back, but go to the 13th. Leo the 13th, who was, I think said had one of the longest, longest verified reign as Pope. He had the fourth longest reign of any documented Pope and third longest verified reign behind those of Peter the Apostle, Pius IV, and John Paul II. He's Italian, but he was, it says here, he was the 13th. So he's taken the name, you know, Leo. He said, but the 13th was a pope who shepherded the Roman Catholic Church into the modern era, encouraging a more progressive approach to faith and social reforms, communicating more with the world and to be open to exploring secular and scientific topics, which is probably a big deal. You're back in the late 1800s. So There you go. Let's see. Yeah, so I'm going to get to, we got more of those coming in, but I do want to revisit a couple things and put them to bed, land the airplane, whatever euphemism you want to use. That I started talking about early in the hour before the new Pope came out on the balcony. The pier, and this is worth knowing, and of course it's satisfying in the fact that a bunch of us told you it would happen. Problem is, it ended up hurting our troops and costing the taxpayer and killing one of our troops and hurting a bunch of others and costing taxpayers big money. If you didn't hear this, remember that pier that we all said, what are you talking about? When Biden said he's going to put the pier, that was the, we're not putting boots on the ground in Gaza, but we're going to have a pier and we're going to just stay out on the pier that's out in the med. And those of us that know anything about anything, we're like, how are you going to, it's a floating pier, it's in the Mediterranean and you're building it, you know, very quickly. Well, it looks like what we thought would happen happened. And here's how much it cost. It cost, number one, 62 U.S. personnel injured, one service member dead, $31 million in damage to military equipment, which I guess that's it swinging into ships because we weren't offloading military equipment. So the pier swinging into military ship, $31 million in damage. That's what damage it, the thing cost. What was it? $230 million. It cost $230 million. Did 31, and then add tack on another $31 million there. So, in damage. To something that, it was silly. I mean, that's the best word I can come up with for it. It was silly. And I'm a guy that was for bringing humanitarian aid to the Palestinians in Gaza. But that wasn't the way to do it. But it was some kind of, like, kids playing with their parents' money kind of stuff. So this is coming out. So a report has come out now. And, you know, and if Biden would have, if Kamala Harris would have won, Vice President Harris would have won, we'd never heard this. But Department of the Defense Department Office of Inspector General report that was released this week said, number one, this is how much it cost. Number two, it said military services were not adequately prepped for the mission, dubbed Operation Neptune Solus. Was that a James Bond? Was that a James Bond movie? But the project moved ahead despite the Army and Navy facing, quote, low equipment mission capable rates and low manning and training levels. But to hell with it, right? Just put them in there because we want to have a pier. Goes on the report to say the Army and Navy did not allocate sufficient maintenance, manning, or training. It went on to say, did not organize, train, or equip to common joint standard for the so-called joint logistics over shore operation, end quote. The disjointed nature of the effort contributed to 27 watercraft and other paraphernalia suffering damage, costing $31 million to repair. The Army, Navy specific equipment, including watercraft, piers, causeways, as well as command, control, and communications was not interoperable. The week's report follows similar review that showed, even though he had urgings of multiple federal aid workers, I didn't know that, to not do it, Biden still charged ahead with the $230 million pier. Army officials interviewed said the lack of interoperability created challenges during the Gaza operation, resulting in equipment damage and communication security risks. So we were better off without it, right, like we said? So there you go. There's the... And Army Sergeant Quindarius Stanley, 23, died on October 31st while under long-term medical care from his injuries on the stupid pier. So, to put that to bed, I did see a text from our buddy C.B. Carl. Said, my battalion built out the runway on Diego Garcia to accommodate B-52 bombers back in 1981. They're still using it. That's how military construction should be done. As we say in the CBs, the difficult we do at once, the impossible will take a while. Yeah, well, this where you had the edict of the executive branch, I know Commander-in-Chief, I understand the role, to say, we ought to do this. I mean, it's like a kid doing this. And they did this, and we saw it coming. And, well, here you go. Unbelievable. All right. unnamed texter here. Did the sheriff really say he's not going to let Aaliyah Marine Patrol bring people arrested to Metro Jail? He did. And you can go back, chance to plug our podcast, right? 55 hours a week of live local shows come from right here at Airport and 65 in our studios. You can go back and you go to our app. That's the first place the podcast posts, but you can go to fmtalk1065.com. Click the podcast link up top there or any of the podcast platforms you're on. Make sure to subscribe to us, and you can search through and put, you know, ask the sheriff or Sheriff Paul Birch, and you'll get the last interview I did with him, and he said that specifically. Yes, he did. Yeah, that story, like I said, this is one that you kind of started, I would say, it's for a lot of people, they're like, oh, it started, you know, it started just a couple months ago. It started last year when Sheriff Birch said something similar, but I've just watched this over time. Sometimes things get picked up by other news groups. Sometimes they don't, that we do on the station. This year it did. Erica Thomas over at 1890 News wrote stories and then others about this. And what it ended up becoming, and so the most recent part of the story where the sheriff had talked about agents or maybe even one Aaliyah Marine Patrol agent specifically that was being moved back from South Baldwin County to Mobile County in the Dog River area, and the number of people, and y'all melted down my text line on this, that people that y'all specifically had problems with this person. This started this bigger discussion. Then what came of this, and which I thought was interesting, is that Hal Taylor, who's head of Aaliyah, agreed to do a meeting with Mayor Tony Kennan down in Orange Beach. Here it is, and this happened yesterday. So Erica, reporting over at 1890 News, said, for an hour on Wednesday, Hal Taylor listened to complaints about the Marine Patrol Division. He was presented with grievances and evidence suggesting troopers are ticketing voters without cause, without first issuing warnings. Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan and Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch have spoken previously about issues reported by their constituents. Those issues include overzealous enforcement and unnecessary stops on the water. And you could go back and listen to those comments there from Sheriff Birch from on the show. Mayor Kennan went on to say, Kennan said, my point is that we know how to police. We have everything under control, and we just don't understand why we're having these issues. It's so foreign and absurd to us that our police department, we don't get it because we would never act this way, end quote. Because Orange Beach has their own law enforcement on the water there, right? A little different than Mobile. Listen to this. So one of the stats here. In the meeting, Mayor Kennan told Hal Taylor that Aaliyah patrols are unnecessary in areas where local law enforcement has jurisdiction. He told 1819 News, so Mayor Kennan told 1819 News, in his area, so that would be Orange Beach, the number of BUIs, boating under the influence, BUI arrest for Aaliyah in a weekend is similar to Orange Beach's BUI arrest for an entire year. The one weekend for the Marine, Aaliyah Marine Patroller, is equivalent to the annual Orange Beach BUI arrest. Wow. Let's see. Coming out of it says, here Erica writes, while rushing out of the meeting on Wednesday, Taylor briefly spoke with 1819 News, said, quote, I listened to them and their complaints and the things that they had about different things. We're going back with my team and evaluate what we heard and see what we took from there, end quote. Now, that sounds like political gobbledygook to me, but maybe it means something else. Maybe I'm hearing it incorrectly, but sure sounds like wah, 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 wah. It said, Erica goes on to say there were about 10 people involved in the meeting, but Kennan said he received calls from mayors and law enforcement from all over the state who wanted to join. Kennan emphasized he did not want to criticize all of Aaliyah or all of law enforcement, which Sheriff Birch has said 10 times on this show. And why would he criticize? I mean, he is law enforcement. Mayor Kennan said, I don't want to cast a huge net over all of Aaliyah. One thing I despise is a bully with a badge. I have the utmost respect for and appreciation for law enforcement, but I can't stand a bully with a badge. So there's that story. What happens from the Aaliyah front on that? We don't know yet, but the meeting has happened. Right, be right back. We'll hit up the text line and the phone line. 343-0106 for the Mallory Piping text line and a phone call. Same digits. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Coming up in just a little bit, Brady Petrie from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Joins us. Speaking of Lanyap, they got their Nappy Awards are up and the voting is there. We got, you know, what makes me so very, very proud around here is you look at certain categories, well, in media and radio and talk and lifestyle shows and all that, and the number of shows from the station on there, it's like 16 years has been worth it for sure. We appreciate y'all's votes. It's over in the Nappies. It means a lot to see that number of shows from the station, you know, from shows on the weekends, you know, shows on to the weekdays, all in between. It just, man, it makes me happy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And keep up those votes out there. All right. Grab a couple texts here from the Mallory Piping text line. Haywood says a young pope in this. What was it say? He's been born 55, I think I remember, something like that. Let's see. Unnamed texter here said, I wonder who really got the most of the 30 million. Oh, that's from when? You mean of, so 30 million in damages. Like what body shop got to do the work? I'm sure it's, you know, I mean, got our ships and stuff messed up there. But I mean, it's $230 million to build the pier, $31 million in damages. But most importantly, you have one fatality and 62 injuries working on the stupid, pointless pier. And somebody did the math here for me. I don't know who that is on the text line. Said the pier cost $11.5 million a day. It was up for 20 days. I mean, it was, how is it that just regular folks like us saw this project and went, this is dumb. This is not. But though, let's go right ahead with it. This is interesting. So, Randall on the text line sounds like Orange Beach isn't doing their job. And that's one of the things that we talked about in that 1819 news story from Erica Thomas about the meeting that went on, right? The meeting that went on about overzealous enforcement, however you want to call it. With a individual or maybe two individuals with Aaliyah Marine Patrol. And it's one thing here in Mobile County, you don't have, I mean, you have Marine Police. You don't have a police presence, local police PD on the water. Places like Orange Beach, you know, so much of what they do is the water, you know, kind of is here too. It's getting better. That they overlap the same way state troopers can operate, you know, they usually don't, but they can overlap inside, you know, city limits. I guess it's the same thing there. But what Tony Kennan was talking about is, hey, Orange Beach already has law enforcement on those waters at the same time that Aaliyah does. And I think what Randall was talking about is a quote here from Tony Kennan. And Kennan told Taylor, Aaliyah patrols are unnecessary in areas where local law enforcement has its jurisdiction. He told 1819 News that in his area, which to me means Orange Beach, right, the number of boating under the influence arrests for Aaliyah in a weekend is similar to Orange Beach's BUI arrests for an entire year. So interesting, Randall's saying, well, maybe Orange Beach isn't doing their job. Maximus says, is it bullying or enforcement of the law? Don't drink and boat, and you won't have to worry about it. The BUI thing is what, yeah, and Tony Kennan said, the things that y'all texted in so much about were just harassment things. One of y'all texted in that you'd gotten stopped by that Aaliyah Marine Patrol three times for a safety check in one day. You know, I think I said this when this first came up. I said, you know, if somebody's boating under the influence, then get them. I'm cool with that. But if you've already given somebody the, you know, the inspection, which they have right to do, and you see your life jackets and your air horn and all, you know, your throwables and all the stuff you're supposed to have. Once they check you once, it's probably a little much. And then the hey, you're making a wake when you really couldn't even move forward without making a small wake. Heard that one from a lot of y'all as well. We'll see what comes of it. We'll be right back. Brady Petrie from Lanyap. They got some breaking news over there like they do every day. You'll want to hear this when we come back.